Father, indeed, as we come before thee in this afternoon, we pray that thy word would be rich and abundant for us, and that we might be edified by it, through Christ, in whom we can pray. Amen. I'd like if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We had started this the last time and gotten through verse 11. And as I pondered upon this chapter, even for a morning message, a full message, I thought it was going to be a challenge. But then when Brother Mickey was going to have, so I was due to preach this morning and have the message this morning. But then when Brother Mickey availed himself, I thought this is perfect because it's important that we kind of build upon the view. And that's what in the next 18 minutes I'm going to try to give you is a view of what this rest of this chapter is about. Down at the coast, often when you're driving, there might be some new construction. And if you look before the construction can happen, the view is so important there that what they do is they build a stick figure. I mean, literally, they take 2x4s and they erect what the house would be is if it were there. And then they tie strings around the top to tie it all together, put little flags on it. And so all the people in the neighborhood can see, this is going to be the new house. Here's the views that it's blocking for you. Here's the views that it will have. It gives everybody a really clear picture of what's going to be built there. And that's what I would like to do for you today. This 1 Corinthians 15 by some, once again, is thought of as the most important chapter of the Bible. I don't know that I would, I don't know that I could ever say that, that one particular one is the most important. But it is very important as we go through. So if we would start with 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 18, I'm going to paraphrase for you. It starts off, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? There was this thought going around that there was no resurrection, and they didn't think it out too deep. They believed, indeed, that Christ had resurrected, but they did not believe that there was going to be this bodily resurrection. And so verses 12 through 18, Paul is kind of giving them a very plain view of where this logic would lead them. He's saying, well, if the dead aren't raised, then Christ obviously hasn't risen. And if Christ hasn't risen, your faith is in vain and we are liars. So he kind of takes it right to the point that it's very important for you to understand that, yes, Christ was risen. We know you believe that, but we are going to have another body. There is going to be a resurrected body. And he states that and argues that through verse 18. And once again, in another sermon, I'm going to go ahead and lay some more foundation for that and give some more clarity on the verses that support that. Then in verse 19, another famous verse, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know, I was thinking, you know, Anna actually recently had a conversation with an acquaintance that was really worried about the state of life, the state of the world, global warming, the pandemic. They're just worried. And then he kind of looked at her and he said, but you don't have to worry, do you? Right? You have faith. That's kind of a far away understanding of what really is behind it all. But she doesn't have to worry. We don't have to worry. Death is really just this passage from one life to the next life. It's just a transition. And Paul is making it clear that this is not the life that we're striving to live. This is but such a short life that we have here on this earth. And as we get older, those of us that are getting older and older, we see that life goes faster and faster, and then we die. We see that our physical bodies become less and less capable, and we look forward to a time where we do have a resurrected body, a body 2.0, as it would, the next step in evolution, if you would. And then when we go from 19 to 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So this is an important concept, and once again, I'll go into it with more detail. But the first fruits, the first of the harvest. Paul's laying out that Christ is this forerunner. Just as Christ was crucified, he was buried, he was risen from the dead, and that he came and people saw him, and he had flesh and he had bone, and he can be handled and touched. And he said to Thomas, here, touch the nail print in my hand. Thrust your hand into my side. This was a real person. It wasn't a spirit. So many of the Corinthians there thought, well, this is just going to be a spiritual thing. Our body is just going to be a spiritual body. It's not going to have any place. It's not going to be physical. No, Paul is making the argument, and I think this is why people think this is such an important chapter, along with Thessalonians and some other chapters, that the body that we're getting is real. It's flesh and bone. Now, that is to be different than we have flesh and blood. So when you look and you see flesh and bone versus flesh and blood, wow, that there's something different there. And we'll get into that deeper at another time also. So, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. That, you know that timing, right? I didn't quite do it right. But from the Messiah, right? This is that part 3 of the Messiah that talks about the resurrection of the dead. And this is a verse that's quoted. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as Adam, all die. For as in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. This concept is fantastical, right? It's beyond our understanding. When we talk of a resurrection, a lot of times it's like I feel that we're really thinking of it as a spiritual resurrection, that we're going to be in heaven. But here it's really talking about this physical body that we have. And there's this juxtaposition, if that's the word, between the physical man Adam and the physical man Christ. And then as in Adam, we all inherited death. That's what the penalty was when he ate of that fruit, death. Christ is victorious, and all will be made alive in him. Then down in verse 35, it says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened or brought to life, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body, but that shall be, but bear grain, it may be of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth a new body. So he makes a very clear analogy that just as when you think of an oak tree, somehow I can imagine if you take a little branch of an oak tree and you plant it, sometimes some plants do this, right? You plant a branch of it grows into a big one, right? And you think, that makes sense. But when you think of an acorn, that in no way represents an oak tree. You would never imagine an oak tree coming out of an acorn or a stalk of wheat coming out of a grain unless you kind of knew that's what happened, right? But we don't know that without that experience, without that foreknowledge of being told or seeing what happens when you plant the acorn or when you plant the grain of wheat, you would never think that anything other than a big grain of wheat may come or a big acorn might come, right? No, a completely different body comes from that. And that analogy is made very clear that is the same. When we die, when believers die, I think really when everybody dies, they get an internal body. One's to everlasting life and one's to everlasting damnation, unfortunately. So it's very important. So for 37 through 49 is that parable or that analogy of the seed being sown. And then in the fifth thing I'd like to bring forth is in that verse 50. Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, talking about flesh and blood once again, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. So now this is another picture, another famous verse that we have this image of, that in the blink of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye, that change can happen, right? And death is swallowed up in victory. So death is the enemy. And indeed, for many, if you're not a Christian, death is the enemy. And it's identified as the enemy. But for the Christian, it's not the enemy. When you think of, there is in the Screwtape Letters, a book written by C.S. Lewis, he goes through and it's the story of a man who is looking, is struggling to become a Christian, right? And it's in the wartime, it's in England, and there's bombs going all around. And just as he's about to die, just as the things are going the worst, right, he has this moment of clarity to see that what reality is, right? I'm moving on to a different life. And that is exactly what Satan doesn't want you to know, doesn't want you to understand. He wants you to think that this life is all you got and there ain't nothing after this, right? And for those who don't have Christ, that's a really big problem, right? That is all you got. But in Christ shall all be made alive. And then finally, verses 57 through 58, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, one of these great therefores, my beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So this is the picture, right? Because you know all of these things, therefore, we need to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our labor that we have one for the other, that help that we give, that love that we show to our neighbors, that is bringing forth fruit abundantly. May the Lord bless his word.